This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Bonnie North. Back in April, we spoke with the U.S. Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Robert Wilkie, about the evolution of care within the VA system. It's an issue that's important to the state. 2017 figures show Wisconsin is home to almost 400,000 veterans. It's also important to greater Milwaukee as well. In 2018, the Zablocki VA Medical Center here had more than 850,000 inpatient, outpatient, and emergency room visits. And more than 400 veterans were treated in its state-of-the-art spinal cord injury center. On July 1st, Secretary Wilkie made a visit to the Zablocki VA, and we were able to speak with him in person to follow up on our earlier April conversation. Wilkie began by reiterating how important the state has been and continues to be within Veterans Affairs.
Wisconsin has been on the cutting edge of how we need to refocus and rethink the way we approach some of America's greater health crises. Particularly addiction, and it flows from that suicide. I'm headed up to Toma tomorrow. Toma was the epicenter for VA in terms of what we needed to do to change the trajectory in terms of treating veterans for pain. We have a unique population, people like my father, 30 years of jumping out of airplanes, war wounds from Vietnam, from several tours, and looking at a lifetime of chronic pain. Toma and Milwaukee broke the mold on the way we think about that. Traditionally, pain medicine and people go off on their own into the shadows. We were in the middle of a crisis, and because of the work they've done here, VA has led the way in terms of reducing opioid prescriptions. We're down by about 51%. We're promoting alternative therapy, Tai Chi, yoga, aquatherapy, acupuncture, things that would have been unthinkable to my father's generation. And we're now substituting opioids with over-the-counter medicine combinations like acetaminophen and aspirin, ibuprofen and aspirin, to get at the source of the pain and stop messing with this brain that the opioid does.
When you and I spoke back in April, the Mission Act had not yet quite gotten put into place. It's been in place now about
almost a month.
What are the early statistics telling you?
Well, the first day we had 44,000 calls. We haven't had that many on any day since then. But what are we seeing? We are seeing veterans not so much choosing regular medical care in the private sector for complicated things. What we're seeing them choosing is urgent care, something that their neighbors have, something that they understand. We think it's important because it keeps them out of emergency rooms. One of the things I said, I think, when we talked in April, I described what it isn't. It's not libertarian VA. I'm not giving you a card that says veteran and you go out and prosper. What this does is it gives you the option, if we can't provide you with what you need, to go through with us a list of our community care providers, pick one, fits your needs, and then we can send you there. We are at the lowest percentage of veterans since the end of World War II who are asking to go in the private sector. So they're voting with their feet. They want to come someplace where people understand the culture and speak the language. So I don't expect a great spike or even a minimal spike when it comes to those asking for alternative treatment. What I do expect is the number of veterans asking for urgent care, participating in urgent care, to go up.
So I assume that setting up urgent care clinics, like a lot of the hospitals around here have, Columbia St. Mary's has it, I think Frederick have them too, where you can go and it keeps you out of the emergency room, but you don't have to get an appointment with your doctor.
Right.
It was more cost effective to do the Mission Act rather than set up VA-type clinics?
Now, I think some of the facilities have them, but it's much more cost effective for a cold or the flu or a sprained ankle. To have someone go to urgent care and free up an emergency room for those who are in acute need.
I know some of the things that people were concerned about when this big transition was happening was that computer systems and other infrastructure wasn't going to be able to keep up with that sudden switch on. What's happening there?
Well, it has gone off, thank goodness, without a hitch. We were able to approach this, and my background is military. I came over as the Undersecretary of Defense. We set up a traditional military joint operations center that all of our hospital directors and network directors participated in. It was up 24 hours a day. They had training, not only training from us, but they trained the people. We haven't had any hitches across the country. Now, in an organization that has 390,000 employees plus 9.5 million patients, will there be something out there? Probably. But for an operation with this scope and size, this has moved. It's such a good pace that the critics have been quiet. I testified a few days ago in front of the Senate committee. I had to bring up mission because nobody felt the need to talk about it. They wanted to talk about suicide, but no one talked about mission because they now accept that as something that is in place and working.
Let's talk about suicide. It's a very difficult thing to talk about. I know when we spoke in April, it's one of the key things that you're trying to mitigate, you're trying to work on from the top down. Also, people from the bottom up are also trying to work. I know there's a lot of folks here who are working different pieces of that. What are some of the things that we need to be thinking about to help people who need this kind of help?
Well, I think as a nation, and this is much broader than VA, as a nation, we need to have a national conversation about how we approach life in the sense that we have never had a conversation in this country about mental health. I've said to the New York Times, I've said to NPR, that we're not even at the Sputnik stage when it comes to getting our arms around mental health. That is really, to me, the crux of this. For VA, that means we provide same-day mental health services. We are starting to begin now with educating troops when they're in basic training and in their military career in a way that would have been unthinkable in my father's day in the Vietnam era. But we have to start talking about it. So for us, that means expanding things like telehealth. So we get out into the most remote parts of the country. That means spending money. The budget that I presented has $9.5 billion for mental health services. But it also means playing to VA's strength, and that is a community of people in uniform, people who wore the uniform, and playing off of that communication, that sense of family that they have. I think when I finish, and I'm the head of the President's Task Force on Suicide Prevention, I think at the end of the day, hopefully kicking off that mental health discussion, but I will be able to give to Zablocki or give to some of our other hospitals the ability to work more closely with the non-governmental organization, the states and localities, get money into those areas to help them help find those veterans that we're just not capable of getting to. But mental health is the key, and then there is a continuum that you talked about before, addiction and homelessness. They're all part of the same trajectory.
And we're also dealing, I think, with a culture that, and you mentioned it earlier, we don't talk about it.
Right.
And the military, certainly,
right.
Anyone who served in the military knows you don't talk about that because it's a weakness.
Right.
And you're not supposed to have that kind of weakness. There's something wrong with
that's
you.
That's right. I think there's less of that now. And let's go back to Major Wilkie, my father. When he was last in Vietnam in 1970, he was a major. If he had evidenced distress, if he had talked about it, that was the draftee military. There were 10,000 guys waiting to fill those shoes. Practically, you can't do that anymore. We have an all-volunteer military, and we have a different society. And we have to concentrate on taking care of the people who volunteer. So that means the minute they walk into basic training, they are told at that stage and then continuing that if you see something in your buddy, say something. If you feel bad, if you feel anxiety, if you feel depressed, you need to tell somebody. Now, have we turned the corner in accepting that completely? No. There are some parts of the military where, no, that would not be accepted even today. But when you make a cultural change, it's difficult and it takes time. But it has to start there. It has to start there because that's the generation that will be filling VA from here on out.
When I was serving, it was in the early 80s, and it was still not something you talked
Absolutely.
About. And that's
Absolutely.
35 years ago.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I certainly saw it growing up around, I'll just say it, the most macho of all units, the 82nd Airborne Division. My father was a senior officer in the All-American Division. The thought that they would talk about things like that was anathema to the culture. But it's a different time. And I think VA can help America focus on this problem that impacts every walk of life in this country.
I'm thinking about a lot of the work that I know people do here. There's
right.
guitars for vets.
Yeah.
There's Shakespeare with veterans.
Absolutely.
These are both civilian and VA mm-hmm. combined
right.
resources that help veterans
right.
and help, I think even more importantly, while it's important to help the veterans, it's important to help the civilian population understand
right.
what the veterans are going through as best yeah. as they can. Do you see as part of that mental health budget being able to support those kinds of
oh,
partnerships?
Sure. Yeah, that's part of it. And that there are two parts of it. There's the strict medical budget, and then that is broken down into different categories. But yes, that's part of our whole mental health outreach. And it is a sea change. I use the example. I was in Hawaii in December, and I heard – no, don't laugh. I heard hula music. But I looked in and there were 12 Vietnam-era soldiers moving knees and arms and shoulders to that as a means of combating pain instead of using opioids. To me, culture is the key, and the military culture is unique. And where I think, even though less than 1% of the population serves or has served, I think where we can help is that at a basic level, most Americans know that soldiering is different. It's different from any other walk of life. And if we can provide some sort of way forward, I think that'll, on mental health, on addiction, I think that'll be one of the best services that we could provide.
So, Mr. Secretary, looking forward now, Mission Act is in place, things that hopefully the budget will pass
yes.
and you'll get the money that you asked
right.
for. What are some of the big challenges you're tackling next?
Well, the next part of the Mission Act, and it's one that's very important here in Wisconsin because at this stage in 2019, the majority of veterans who use VA here in the state are still of the Vietnam era. We are tasked with providing support and resources to the families who take care of Vietnam veterans at home, family caregivers. We're the only medical institution that puts as much emphasis on taking care of a patient at home as opposed to being in the hospital. We have to get that system right. I've said I'm not going to take anyone off of it, and I'm certainly not going to certify that program until I'm convinced that all of the IT programs are in place and working. I think this is a wonderful step forward. And coming from my world, it's really one of the last loops to close from the Vietnam era, that we finally we do something to help those families who went through those times in the 60s and 70s.
Well, sir, I want to thank you so much for talking with us again. It is a pleasure to meet you in
person. Well, I thank you for everything you do to make veteran stories accessible to the public. Thank you.
Robert Wilkie is the U.S. Secretary of Veterans Affairs. We spoke with him at the Zablocki VA Medical Center last week. You can hear our April conversation with him and find out more about the services that the VA provides from links at wuwm.com.